Vitamin C has evolved. Altrient Vitamin C is a cutting-edge liposomal liquid food supplement designed for maximized absorption. Discover Altrient Liposomal Vitamin C and receive 10% discount by quoting HR10 at abundanceandhealth.com.
Hello and thank you so much for joining me on the show today. This is the Diabetes Show on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. My name is Peter Alton of Undefeated and I'm your host for today and the coming weeks. Hello and welcome once again to the Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. My name is Peter Alton. I'm your host this week and every week, and I enjoy doing this so much. I hope you enjoy listening to me just as half as much as I enjoy doing it, because that means that you are getting something out of it. I want you to be able to walk away from listening to this show thinking, I want to listen again, and I have learned something. And not only that I've learned something, but I want you to walk away having actually got one step closer to being in that diabetic sweet spot. For those of you that are new to the show, the diabetes sweet spot is just where you've got as much knowledge as you possibly can about diabetes generally. You've got an awareness of your own risk, and then you are able to take action in an appropriate fashion and at the right time. And when you're doing all those three things, then you are in the diabetes sweet spot, the safest possible place with your diabetes. Now, the angle I'm coming at it from, of course, is from the podiatrist's viewpoint, and also as a person with diabetes, and also as a dad with a daughter with type 1 diabetes. The angle I'm coming at is trying to help you to prevent the complications with diabetes. And the specific one that is, of course, of interest to me as a podiatrist is prevention of amputations. But in doing that, of course, in trying to prevent amputations, we will be benefiting your whole body as well. Because the number one thing you can do to help with your diabetes and prevent the complications that lead to amputation is to maintain good blood sugars. There's loads of other factors as well involved that you can do to minimize your risks and things you can take action with to help. But the number one thing, above all, with all the complications, is, of course, maintaining good blood sugars. And that's, unfortunately, probably one of the hardest things to do as well. We're going to be getting into some stuff later on. If you listened last week, you would have heard me talking about some of the lessons you can learn from the game of rugby. And we got halfway through those. We've got another half to do this week as well. As always, there's loads of stuff in the news, and we're going to be going through a little bit of that before we do anything else. And then we've got some beautiful, beautiful music for you later on in the show. So let's kick off with some of the news. And I really trawl the internet to try and find what I can find out there that's been happening in the past week. And normally diabetes.co.uk is one of the sites. And then there's also diabetesnews.com as well. And these first ones are going to be from diabetesnews.com. And I'm going to whiz through them fairly quickly for you. So the first one that I came up with is that stress mood issues are worse in younger patients with diabetes. Now, I really like this article because it's talking about younger patients. And then in the first paragraph, it talks about these things being worse in people under the age of 65. So that means I'm a younger patient, according to that. It says obstructive sleep apnea, insomnia and diabetes are often linked and can have an impact on quality of life, worsening the risk for stress and depression. New research suggests the impact is worse on people under the age of 65 who experience diabetes and obstructive sleep apnea. Now, you can read more on that, and I encourage you to, if any of these things do tickle your fancy, that you do go and read a bit more about it. That particular one and the ones immediately following are going to be from diabetesnews.com, so do go along there. Then there's another one which is saying that training low carb and competing high carb for athletes, this is. It's that some athletes now embrace a strategy which is called low carbohydrate availability, to potentially improve their performance, which involves they train with low carb, and then when they're actually competing, they have high carbs. And apparently that can help with, or it seems to be that they might be able to help with their performance. Now, the next one is one which I welcome. I don't welcome the fact that it's for real, but I welcome the fact that it's been highlighted. And this is that pre-diabetes can damage the brain. Diabetes has already been linked with dementia and cognitive decline. But now researchers are saying that people with pre-diabetes also have a higher risk of cognitive decline and vascular dementia, even in the absence of full-blown diabetes. And glycemic control is really, really important in preventing these conditions. It's the same with your feet and problems there. If you've got high blood sugars and you are in the pre-diabetes range, it's just that they're not high enough to be called a person with diabetes. You've still got pre-diabetes. You've still got high blood sugars, and high blood sugars are what are causing the damage. So it stands to reason that there will be damage going on. It'll just be more likely to be escalated in some people when the levels are high enough to be called diabetic. So if you've got pre-diabetes, sort yourself out. Try and get your blood sugars down. If you've got diabetes, then absolutely. The whole point is we all should be trying to strive for as near normal blood sugar levels as possible, because none of us want to end up with cognitive decline and dementia or the other complications that come with high blood sugars. The next one is that glycated hemoglobin, which of course is the HbA1c test, or as the Americans call it, the A1c test, is a standard method of assessing your blood glucose levels over a period of time, about 3 months. And researchers are now saying that perhaps iron deficiency or vitamin B12 deficiency might affect those results. Do read more on that one. The next one, also from diabetesnews.com, is about vitamin D deficiency, and this is for people with type 1, particularly Europeans with type 1, the study was done on. Apparently, the role of vitamin D levels contributing to diabetes risk has been talked about quite a bit, and this recent study has found that deficiencies in vitamin D are not linked to an increased risk of developing type 1 diabetes in Europeans. Next one, unfortunately, is COVID related, and it's bad news for people with diabetes. Again, it's something which we need to be aware of. I'm sure you are aware of it. I bang on about it a bit here, and that is the fact that actually when you have got diabetes, and particularly in this particular instance, it's talking about type 2 diabetes, but it adds 20 years to your age from the point of view of COVID-19 mortality. The risk of dying from COVID-19 infection is higher in middle-aged adults with type 2 diabetes versus adults without diabetes, and is the equivalent of adding 20 years of chronological age in assessing your overall related death risk. Not good news, but again, another reason, if you haven't taken it seriously already, to take your blood sugars seriously. Get that diabetes under control. If you've got type 2 diabetes, let's see if you can get it reversed. See if you can get it in remission. It's so, so possible. I've been doing this diet, as you're aware, and my blood sugars, I've been wearing continuous glucose monitor, my blood sugar levels have been so much, so much better, right down in the lower pre-diabetes range. I'm trying to click over into the non-diabetes range, I'm really hopeful that is going to be the case soon, that I'll be able to come on in and say, yes, I'm back into the non-diabetic range. Watch this space on that one. Apparently another one has just popped up actually on my timeline here for headlines from diabetesnews.com, and this is dated February the 28th, and it says diabetes among the factors that cause 2/3 of COVID-19 hospitalizations. About 64% of adults hospitalized with COVID-19 had one or more of 4 underlying conditions, researchers say: obesity, diabetes, hypertension, and heart failure. This reinforces other studies which have found these conditions are strongly linked to poor COVID-19 outcomes. Next one's interesting, and hopefully is maybe something of hope for the future. Can electromagnetic fields treat diabetes? Apparently they might be a safer and non-invasive way to manage blood glucose in diabetes. Apparently researchers who have examined the effects of electromagnetic fields in altering the balance of oxidants and antioxidants in the liver which may cause an improvement in the body's response to insulin, thus, of course, making their blood glucose levels better. Those were all on the diabetesnews.com. We're now going on to the diabetes.co.uk site, and there's a few on there. First one, actually, I thought, oh, this one sounds good. I like a bit of red wine, and I like a bit of cheese. Not on my diet too much. Well, actually, at the moment, I'm taking a two-week break from my diet, so I did have some red wine this evening, and I did have some cheese this evening. And hopefully, it's going to mean that my brain is going to be working well in the future, because this one, the title of it is that red wine and cheese found to improve cognitive decline. A link's been found between specific foods and cognitive function in later years. Researchers from the Iowa State University say regular consumption of cheese and red wine seems to have a positive impact on the brain. And you can go and read a little bit more about that from the diabetes.co.uk website if you like. I'm just going to leave it at that and carry on drinking my wine and my cheese when I do finally finish this diet, but in moderation, watching my weight, of course, because I do not want my body weight to increase dramatically and for me to tip back over into the type 2 diabetes range again. Because, of course, although it's one thing saying that you've reversed your diabetes, it really probably should be said that it's in remission, and it's so easy for the weight to come back on again, for the insulin resistance to come back in again, and for you to be back in bad blood sugar control again. There are some other ones on diabetes.co.uk. I'm going to skim through them really quickly because we are getting out of time a little bit. There's a wearable device developed that can measure stress levels. It's an interesting one. Shocking discrimination towards people with learning disabilities reported. Climate change could be to blame for COVID-19 creation. And then last one, which I am going to just read a little bit about because I'm interested because I've got two pets myself. Experts consider COVID-19 vaccination program for pets. Okie dokes. Well, actually, I'm due to have my vaccination this coming week on Thursday. I've got a call to go. I should have actually had it some time ago, but I've been fighting my GP surgery, and they've been sending me to 119, and 119 have been sending me back to the GP, and it's been really difficult to actually get one, even though I'm entitled to one as a key frontline worker. Anyway, I've got it due on Thursday. But getting back to the story here, experts consider COVID-19 vaccination program for pets. Let's read a bit about it. A vaccination program may need to be rolled out among cats and dogs to help prevent the spread of COVID-19, according to a group of scientists. Research has shown that coronavirus can jump to domesticated animals, and a warning has been issued. There is a significant long-term risk to public health if the virus keeps mutating and starts infecting more animals. Teams from the UEA, University of East Anglia, that's where my daughter went to actually, Norwich-based research facility, the Earlham Institute, and the University of Minnesota have come together to write an editorial in the journal Virulence about the subject. They wrote, "It is not unthinkable that vaccination of some domesticated animal species might be necessary to curb the spread of the infection." I'm going to leave it there, let you read any more if you want to. I don't think we need to lose sleep over it and get too concerned about it. But at the same time, it's something which is being considered. And I think we have to be thankful that in the present day and age with science, there are so many different angles people are taking to attack this virus and attack future mutations and spread of it. That one and the other previous ones there were diabetes.co.uk, and the first lot I did were from diabetesnews.com. Do go and have a read of those if you want to hear a bit more about them. Okay, let's talk about some lighter things, shall we? Let's talk a little bit about the weather at the moment. Well, it's probably lighter for some people. It may not be for others. I'm aware of that. I know over in Texas, things have been pretty horrendous. Over here, February, we had weird weather. We had some really high temperatures up in about the 18 degrees and some really low temperatures down in the minus 10 degrees and below that, I believe, in some parts of the UK. Crazy fluctuations, and it literally was, you know, one day was high and one day was low. It was that quick. But anyway, last weekend got out in the garden a little bit. This weekend I didn't get out and do any work in the garden, but I did get out and put my feet up and sit back and have my lunch out there, and enjoyed the sunshine and just enjoyed looking around and seeing how things were. Well, I enjoyed seeing how some things were progressing, and I sort of grimaced at the thought of some of the others. So the grass is growing really long, and it's still a bit too wet to cut it. So it's I hate doing the first cut. It always clogs the lawnmower up. It's pretty long, and particularly under the trampoline we've got in the garden, really grown long under there. So that wasn't so positive. But looking around and just seeing the first flowers, there was some little miniature daffodils which my mum had given us. And despite the squirrels having dug them out of the pot, some of them were coming up, and the first blooms were out, which was really nice. Listening to the birds singing, really it's just a sign that spring is here. The trees are beginning to bud. It's a really, really lovely time of year, and particularly I find at this time of year the bird song. I remember last year when the lockdown started, you know, about another 2 or 3 weeks time, we'll be 1 year on. And I remember walking around the park. In fact, I played some birdsong here on the radio show. I might even do that again this year sometime, because it was just so beautiful walking around the country park near us and hearing that beautiful, beautiful birdsong against all the negative stuff that was in the news. It was so nice to hear that. So anyway, I thought that it would be nice to listen to some nice, beautiful music now. And I think anyone would enjoy this music. Some people might say it gets played too much. They've heard it too many times. But it's certainly a piece of music which a lot of people it's their first introduction to classical music. Certainly it was for myself. And it's appropriate, of course, because of the name of it. And that is, it's the spring part of Vivaldi's Four Seasons. And we're going to listen to it played. The violinist playing it is Anne-Sophie Mutter, and I think you'll really enjoy it. I want you to put your feet up, I want you to relax, exhale, try and forget about all the worries of the world. In fact, something I'm doing at the moment, I'm doing a course at the moment, and one of the things it talks about on there is how we can really build the amount of joy in our lives just by really thinking back to some positive memories. You can call them what you want, call them golden memories. I want you to think, actually, even as I talk before this song starts, this piece of music starts, I want you to think of a memory, a beautiful memory that you've got, okay? And maybe give it a nickname, you know, just some sort of name that you can give it, which you can go to at times when maybe times are tough. You can think, you know what, yeah, I'm going to go and do that. I'm going to think about that. I'm going to relive that moment. And just try and do that. And let it bring a smile to your face while you're listening to Vivaldi's Four Seasons, Spring, with Anne-Sophie Mutter playing the violin. Enjoy.
Thank you.
That was Vivaldi's Four Seasons and Spring, played by Anne-Sophie Mutter on violin. And hopefully you really enjoyed it, and I hope you're able to visit some golden memory of the past where you just really ended up with a smile on your face whilst listening to that. And try that exercise out once in a while, you know, just really just spending a bit of time meditating on a golden memory of your past and have some gratitude for where you've been in your life. Yeah, there's going to be some bad memories you've got as well, but focus on the positive. Get a golden memory, give it a nickname, and then revisit it from time to time and have gratitude in your heart and appreciate the world that we live in. Anyway, today we are going to be moving on. I should point out, for those of you that joined us during that song and haven't got a clue what I'm talking about, that you are listening to The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. And last week we talked a little bit about some lessons you can learn from rugby. And I did that actually on Facebook Lives over the course of the weekend, because England were playing rugby, or some people might say they weren't playing rugby. England were playing rugby over the weekend against Wales. And you might wonder, why am I sort of smiling? Why am I still cheerful? Well, my heart has definitely been beaten up by their performance because England lost. But never mind. There's always another day, so to speak. But seriously, we did these Facebook Lives and they were received really well by people. I think people really found it helpful. I did some before the match, some during the match, i.e. half time. And then at the end of the match, I managed to wipe away my tears and do a little bit more. So I'm going to share the second lot of advice from the game of rugby that you as a person with diabetes can take note of. There's a lot of this advice is relevant to diabetes in general, but as I mentioned earlier, being a podiatrist, a lot of it is specific as well, or has a specific angle to helping you look after your feet properly and prevent problems. Not many people are aware. Probably are if you listen to this show regularly, because I'm always going on about it, but the number of people that actually undergo amputations every single day, it's pretty horrific. 4,300 or so every single day around the world. Even just in the course of this show, while you're listening to me, there'll be 180 people, because it's one every 20 seconds. So it's pretty horrible when you think about it, but, you know, all these people going to bed with a limb or part of a limb missing and their lives affected henceforth. So I don't want you to be in that position. That's the whole reason I'm doing this show. I don't get paid for doing it. As a podiatrist, I'm passionate about helping people with their feet, preventing problems and being able to continue using them for the rest of your life, which is what you're meant to do. You're meant to go to the grave eventually after a good long life with your feet still intact. So please pay attention. If you missed last week, go back there or go to Facebook. You can look up on Circle Podiatry, or you can look under my name, or you can look under undefeated.org. All of those you'll find these videos on, because those ones were done by video, not just radio. I was talking into the camera rather than just into the mic. You're probably better off with the video, with VR radio, to be honest. Let's get on, shall we? Let's have a quick recap of last week's ones. The ones we did last week were lack of flow of the ball in the game of rugby actually can be equated to lack of flow of the blood in the blood vessels, which get affected in diabetes. Not closing up the gaps in defence in rugby. That was equated to having gaps in your skin, having a break in your skin, having a fissure, a cracked heel, something where, you know, cracking between your toes where it's got too soggy, areas where infection can get in. Lack of tackling, that was equated to the whole fact that as a person with diabetes, your immune system isn't as good. You can't fight infection as well. So that was that one. Then we went into the ruck or the maul. The ruck or a maul caving in under the pressure of the other team. And that was equated to pressure from your feet on areas of your skin, causing callus to build up, causing that callus to end up with an ulcer under it, breaking down, pressure point. Really, really important one. Very common reason for amputation to take place. And then the final one from last week was kicking as an attack in rugby. And that's a sharp, sudden attack. And in England were taken apart with that. The first try of the match by Wales was done in this way. They kicked the ball up and then somebody caught it and ran over the line and penetrated their defence. And that equated to sharp objects suddenly penetrating your defences, going into your skin and taking some infection with them. And the infection, unfortunately, winning. So those were the first five. Now we're going to look at the next five. And the first one we're going to look at is the scrum not being structured well. Now, for those of you who don't play rugby, there's 15 players on the field. And eight of them are what we call the forwards. And they form a scrum. And the scrum is where all eight of them bind together and bend down and face each other, join together, and then they have to push each other off the ball when the ball is thrown in. And the idea, of course, is that your team wins the ball, and then the ball gets thrown out down the backs, the faster players. And if a scrum isn't structured well, then it will collapse. It won't be a good foundation for getting the ball out to your other team members. And the whole idea of this one, of course, is that your feet are your foundations as well. And if they are not properly formed, then just as in the scrum, it will go around in circles or it will collapse. Your feet also, I'm not saying they're going to go around in circles, but there will be abnormal forces going through them. There'll be abnormal pressures going through them. And there will be the likelihood of things like bunions, hammer toes, dropped arches forming. And those areas are then open to high pressure and they can form ulceration and infection. So really important that you have a good foot structure, or at least if your foot structure isn't that good, at least you can try and do something about it. You see your podiatrist, we can make inserts, insoles to change the way your foot's working, change those forces, and hopefully help prevent the problems occurring. The next one is about the captain of the team. Okay, the captain of the team is really important. If the captain doesn't motivate and lead his team, then they are likely to be defeated. In fact, the only saving grace in a game of rugby probably is that if the other team captain is worse, then you might be on a winner. But as a person with diabetes, you are the captain of your feet and you are captain of your diabetes. And you do not want to lose to infection. You do not want to lose to the complications of diabetes. So it's really important that you recognize that you are in charge. Yes, you've got doctors. Yes, you've got nurses. Yes, you've got your podiatrist. But you're the one that lives with your feet 24/7. You're the one that has the best opportunity to look after them. You've got to know what you're doing, of course. And that's where getting into the diabetes sweet spot is important. Knowing what can go wrong. Knowing your risk. And then knowing appropriate and taking appropriate and timely action. So that's that being captain of your feet. You don't just have a captain of a team, though. You would have a coach. And a coach is really important for a couple of reasons. And the first one we're going to learn from is the coach and his preparation. Now, England lost last week. Now, I'm not going to comment on whether our coach and manager prepared properly for that game. But generally speaking, when you are going into a match, the coach will be really studying and getting the team to study previous matches played by the team you're about to oppose. They want to look at the other team's weaknesses and their strengths. Weaknesses that can be exploited, but also the strengths, so you know what to look out for. And as a person with diabetes, it's really critical that we realize we are in a match, a battle against the effects of diabetes. You need to know the big picture of what can go wrong and be open to accept that, hey, you know, if you've got a weakness, that's where the attack is likely to come. And then you can turn it into your strength. You can address it. You can take that appropriate and timely action, and it won't be a weakness anymore. You know, I literally have people who, they've got a weak spot, which is pretty much destined to cause them a problem which can lead to an ulceration and amputation. And yet we intervene, we tell them what to do, we coach them into changing the way they see their feet and the way they look after their feet, and they end up with success, end up with comfortable feet which last their lifetime. And that is really important, having that coach. And really, I suppose in a way, your coach actually, although you can play partly at the coach, you really need somebody from the outside looking in. And that usually would be, from the point of view of diabetes in your feet, your podiatrist. But also having somebody else on board as well. And that comes into the next aspect of the coach, I think, more so, which is that the coach is the eyes of the team as well. So during a match, the coach is the eyes of his team, her team. The team are out there playing, and the coach can see an overview of what might be going wrong, where communication might be breaking down, where the other team are exploiting any weaknesses. And he's got to communicate that to his team. So he might send a message out to them. I'm sure that messages have been done through signs in the past, maybe through shouting. I don't think they're supposed to communicate from the touchline, but they can send in with a substitute, for example, a message to the captain saying, change the tactics, do this. At half time, a good coach will get in there and will tell the team what he's seen, what needs to change. And likewise, again, with you and your diabetes, have somebody in your life. Okay, yes, the coach who can see you once in a while and can tell you what to plan what to do, but also have somebody in your life, maybe a sweet spot buddy, we call it. And often it can be somebody in your family, but in some ways it's better to have somebody who is actually not living with you necessarily. People living with you need to be on board, but sometimes it's better to have someone who is going to love you enough to be able to challenge you, but also to encourage you as well. And they can become almost like the eyes of you. In some cases, you do need the person living with you because literally you can't see what is going on your feet. And therefore, it's good to have somebody having a look at them on a daily basis, particularly if you have lost some sensation to your feet. So really, really important that that you are aware of that. And it's great that in this age of technology, you can literally, you could be using a selfie stick, taking a picture of your feet and sending it off to your loved one on the other side of the world for them to be the eyes of your diabetes, if you like, the eyes of your feet, keeping an eye on it. You can have the continuous glucose monitor, which is linked and to somebody, alert somebody else when you're going low or high. You can have your diabetes team take a look at it and tell you that actually, you know what, you need to improve your blood glucose levels there. Over in Canada, America, I know they've got this bath mat which you can stand on. This is more for people who've already had an ulcer and a problem. You stand on the bath mat and it tells you and it tells your physician that actually one foot has got too warm, and it alerts them because warming up of the foot is likely to indicate that there's about to be another situation, a breakdown or maybe a Charcot joint forming. And then the physician will be alerted and they'll get on the phone and say, hey, Mrs. Bloggs, you should come in and get that checked out. And in you go. And I'm pretty sure that will be happening over here fairly soon as well. The next one, this one really did come about as a result of the match on Saturday, which England lost. This one is, don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. Okay, England clawed back to get to 24-24. Okay, so the game was open. Anyone could have won it. And what happened? We gave away three stupid, stupid penalties. Really crazy schoolboy mistakes. Wales capitalised on that, as they would. Three penalties, that turned into 9 points. And by that stage, we were not good. Don't be stupid with your diabetes. Don't do stupid things. Don't walk around barefoot if you know you've got diabetes and you know you've got neuropathy particularly. Don't walk around barefoot. It's not worth getting an injury on your foot. Be sensible. Don't go wearing a brand new pair of shoes for a whole day. It's likely to rub. You as a person with diabetes may not realize it's rubbed a sore on your feet. Please make sure you're not stupid. So many feet have been lost because of stupidity. Once you know the problem, you're not ignorant anymore. Please make sure you're sensible and not stupid. Losing the spirit. This is the last one. Losing the spirit. Losing the spirit. Oh my goodness. How difficult is it to live with diabetes? How hard is it to actually make sure that you are keeping up with your diet, keeping up with testing and measuring, making sure that you are on top of things? How disheartening does it get if you think you've been doing well and yet your HbA1c has gone up? Don't give up. Just as in a team game, sometimes you get a team, they really look like they're down and out and they've lost, and yet in actual fact, they have that fighting spirit to come back, and they muster all their strength. And despite what's going on, despite being the underdogs, they pull off a last-minute victory just through sheer guts and determination. I know for myself, living with diabetes, it is a cunning disease, and you don't necessarily feel ill, and it can be coming on over many years. There's a a tendency over time to lose conviction over eating correctly, or you know, maybe paying your feet the attention they need and they really do deserve. And let's face it, they are doing a lot for you. Don't get dispirited. If something's gone wrong, pick yourself up, sort yourself out. And this is where having that coach and that team member is really, really important. I want to encourage you, please, to take note of all these things that I've been sharing today. And just as a rugby team wants to win that tournament, any sports team wants to win that tournament, you want to win your life. You want to be able to go through life doing the things that you enjoy with those you love forever, for as long as you can. And it's totally possible. People live with diabetes for many, 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 many years and get into a ripe old age still able to do some amazing things. So please let yourself be one of those. But it does start with taking care of yourself now. If any of you have been thinking while I've been here that you need more help, then please do get in touch. I'm more than willing to have a conversation. You can get in touch with me via contact@undefeated.org, contact@undefeated.org. And I'll be more than happy to speak with you. If you've got a great story you want to share on the radio, please do get in touch as well. Same email, send it through to me, and I'll get back to you and we can have a conversation about that. I want to wish you all the best. Take good care. And you know, if you're a Welsh supporter or a Welsh rugby player, I forgive you. Well done, by the way, for getting the Triple Crown. That's what they won for basically beating Scotland, Ireland and England. So well done, Wales. We're now going to play a song, and it's by Imagine Dragons, and it is called Nothing Left to Say. Some of you might be glad that I've got nothing left to say. I'm relating to the rugby. I've got nothing left to say. Enjoy the song, Imagine Dragons, Nothing Left to Say.
There's nothing left to say.
And that is it for this week's show. You've been listening to Peter Olsen with The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. All that remains is for me to say have a fantastic week. Stay safe in the diabetes sweet spot, living the ideal diabetic lifestyle. I look forward to sharing more with you next week. Take good care and God bless.